Many years ago, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, our Holy Father Benedict XVI, of happy memory, spoke frequently about the Church and her future being smaller, being more concise. This smaller, more concise, more deliberate Church, from his perspective, would have grown out of the persecution that the Church was being asked to endure. And yet there seems to be something applicable to that as we celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Family. That in truth, the whole unfolding of the Christian dispensation in relationship with our Lord and Savior always is about a relationship that is intimate, face to face. The global understanding of the Church, especially made manifest by the Feast of the Epiphany, where indeed the wise men come, they do homage to our Lord, and they take the message of Christ to the ends of the earth. There is a time then, this expectation that we are called to do the same, to transform the whole world. And in truth, we are called to do that. But the means by which we achieve that transformation is not necessarily going to the four corners of the world, but instead where it is that we find ourselves living deliberately and intentionally our Catholic lives. Not so much because of persecution, but to concretize the need to see Christ face to face. This relationship into which we enter truly from the moment of its inception has always been about peering upon the face of God and living. I reflected a few weeks ago at the beginning of the Christmas season that Archbishop Luis Martinez reminds us that not only conversation can be a means of us helping understanding our relationship with God, but he beautifully reflects upon what he calls the two faces, the two visions that unfold at the beginning of salvation history. The Father looking to the Son, who comes into the world to save us, and that gaze between our Lord and his Mother. The very first time our Lord opened his eyes and saw the face of Our Lady, and Our Lady looking upon the face of the child who now is her salvation as he is salvation for all of us. That is what we are required to do as well. Yes, we speak to God, and we are required to do so in prayer. We should do so fervently and earnestly. But so too, and maybe even more importantly, when our words actually fail us, we know not what it is that we can say, or maybe if we should say anything at all, we peer upon the face of God. We find ourselves lost in this intimate relationship into which we have been drawn. And just as the Holy Family reveals to us, the unfolding of that which God has made manifest in the Incarnation happens in concrete, small, and deliberate ways. And so, what it is that we take away from the celebration of the Holy Family? It's very clear that your family should be holy. That which Jesus, Mary, and Joseph accomplished, you likewise have access to that same grace, and it should manifest itself in your own homes. Now, this is where it gets difficult and where it gets tricky, because families are complicated realities. Relationships in families at times can be fraught with difficulty. And sometimes the difficulties and the complications may even hurt us to the very depth of our being. Grievances and difficulties that St. Paul speaks about to the Colossians may at times be seen to be insurmountable. How do I forgive? How do I love? How do I move past? These aren't inappropriate questions, but questions that we must ask, and then we turn to Scripture, and more importantly, we turn to God, and it is there that we find the answer. In his exhortation to the Colossians, St. Paul, as he does in other places where he writes, maps out for us very deliberately and concretely what it is that we should do. Be holy, yes, that's what he calls his chosen ones. Have a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Forgive one another. Put aside grievances. As the Lord has done for you, so you must also do for one another. And bind all of these together in perfect charity. Now, even as he makes clear what it is that we are required to do, we know that at times it is difficult to do this. And yet it is by grace that we can achieve it. And even when we fail, we should continue to strive. In truth, the difficulties that often plague the world in which we live today, in some senses, can be simply traced back to the fact that we have become a churlish and fractious society and culture. We are unwilling to forgive. We are unwilling to move past our grievances. We have a certain degree of ownership, a certain degree of identity in our being hurt, in our victim status. and holding the past hurts and the faults of others over them so that there is no room for forgiveness, no room for growth, no room for grace. And yet that is precisely what we are called to. And the more egregious the sin, the more the grace that God gives us to forgive the sin. The more the sin hurts and crucifies and causes suffering in our life, the greater we are called to forgive the individual or the individuals who have harmed us. To be clear, I am not a perfect practitioner of this in any way, shape, or form. Like all of you, my family lives are complicated and difficult, and at times my heart becomes hard to the difficulties that have to happen in order to traverse family relationships. It seems easier and simpler to simply walk away, to give up, to build a wall around myself, my faith, my beliefs, and find my comfort and my peace there. But we are required to get each other to heaven. I have to get you all to heaven. You have to get each other to heaven. And even more specifically, the families in which you find yourselves, you must get each other to heaven. That can't happen if our hearts are hardened to each other. We cannot help each other grow in grace and holiness if we turn away from one another. We cannot move forward in God, in Christ, if we hold on to past hurts, if we are unwilling to forgive, if we are unwilling to love. What the Holy Family makes manifest to us is that those who have received grace, the fullness of grace, Our Lady, of course, born in the fullness of grace, St. Joseph, the just man who lived in grace, and our Lord himself, perfection itself, they lived according to God. They did the things of God. They were obedient. Scripture tells us our Lord was obedient, but they themselves were also obedient to our Heavenly Father. And maybe, brothers and sisters, that is the place to begin. Sometimes when we look at the difficulties of our family lives, our parish lives, the world in which we live, it all may seem together too much to handle. How do I conquer this, overcome this, deal with this on a daily, weekly basis? And maybe that is too much for us to do. Maybe what we should do is make it simple. Be obedient, first to God, and then to those who are immediately around you, those with whom you share a place, a home, and a heart. And what is at the essence of obedience? It is listening to each other in love, hearing each other in love. And remember, love is not just an emotion that makes us feel good. Love is the reality of the mystery of the cross. To say that I love you, to say you love someone, is to pledge their goodness more than your own. To say that I love you means you are committing yourself to sacrifice for the other. A great many things are required of us if we are to put on the virtues that we are exhorted to by St. Paul. But indeed, this can be accomplished. And as I have said repeatedly, I believe truly that it is in this way that the world will be transformed. This is how you become agents of conversion for the world in which you find yourself. Yes, maybe by the things that you do, but more importantly, most importantly, by the manner in which you live your life. So let's make it even more concrete and simple. Who needs forgiveness from you today? To whom have you hardened your heart or turned away? Who do you need to love more perfectly? And ask for the grace then to do precisely that. In obedience to God who has forgiven you, you in turn return that obedience to him by loving him first, then in the mystery of the incarnate word, loving one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.